So John is going to preach for us from John 15. It's on page 1087 in the Bibles in front of you. John 15, beginning at the beginning of the chapter and reading to verse 17. I can't see with these glasses on, sorry. I shall now have a look. Yep, I think you found it. Okay. John 15, 1 to 17. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." Excuse me. "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another."
Keep your Bibles open, and let's pray as we look at this passage together. Blessed be the Lord, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. Felicity gets home from church incredibly encouraged. She's heard about how the gospel is going out to the whole ends of the earth. But as the week goes on, she is feeling more and more like a letdown as she struggles to make the most of opportunities at work to talk about Jesus to her colleagues. Franz, he leaves his Bible study growth group and he just feels like an absolutely useless believer of Jesus. He loves Jesus, but he struggles to see how the gospel changes him, changes his church, and changes the world. And it's often tricky to see what Jesus is doing in our own lives, in our church family's life, and in the world. We've been listening to Jesus as he answered his disciples' questions, teaching them about what will happen to them after his death and resurrection when he has returned to his Father. And we left chapter 14 last week with Jesus saying, "Rise, let us go from here." And I think it's both fair and fun to imagine that Jesus has got up from that room in Jerusalem with his disciples and they've gone out for a post-dinner walk. And it's a walk that fits in with this central point of this section as he continues to answer the last question that we looked at last week. The question was asked, How come, Jesus, you're showing the truth of who you are to us, the disciples, but why not to the whole world yet? And so as they potentially walk, Jesus continued to teach his disciples who he is and show the disciples how they will go into the world with the truth and the love of Jesus and will bear fruit all for God's glory. So firstly, who is Jesus? Well, he is the fruitful vine. Have a look at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Throughout John, Jesus has used God's Old Testament name, I am, to reveal his identity as God's Son. I am the bread, the light, the gate, the shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life. And now, with one final I am, Jesus declares that he is the true vine. The Old Testament frequently used the vineyard or the vine as a symbol for God's people, Israel. A vine that would bud and blossom and fill the whole world with fruit. Isaiah 5 is one place that we see this intimate work of the Lord God achieving this. And it's a love song that portrays the Lord God as a caring gardener. It says this, "Let me sing for my beloved, my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it. He hewed out a wine vat in it, and he looked for it to yield grapes." That's a beautiful love song, isn't it? And yet it's a tragic one, because it carries on to say, this vineyard yielded wild, sour grapes. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done for it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I tell you, what I will do to my vineyard, I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. Israel failed to provide good fruit in the Old Testament. It was degenerate, ineffective in reaching the nations. And so along came divine judgment. But not with Jesus. Jesus is the true vine. The promised and effective vine that would grow over the whole earth and be fruitful for his Father's glory. All of God's intentions for Israel are fulfilled in Jesus. He is the focus of God's plan of salvation. And as with the whole gospel, the relationship between Jesus and God the Father are central. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. God the Father is in supreme control over the whole process. And using that Isaiah imagery, we see what the job looks like. It's a careful, loving farmer preparing the soil with a spade, clearing the debris and the weeds, carefully planting and tending to the vine. The Father delights in his Son. And God the Father, he does two things to ensure fruit production. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The vine dresser cuts away the dead wood and trains new growth. The fruit-bearing power of the vine is found in the vine and in the vine dresser. And this means that the fruit-bearing is done through the disciples. So our second, There we go. Disciples abide as joy-filled branches. And after hearing verse 2, I imagine that verse 3 was quite reassuring to the disciples listening in. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The disciples were joined to the vine, bound, united to Jesus, because of the word that he had spoken to them. The essential meaning of abiding is the act of trusting in Jesus and in his word. Belief is an attachment, a connection to Jesus, and his everlasting life that comes through his word flows into his branches. So if John and the disciples, if they wanted to bear fruit, they must remain close to Jesus and his word. Last year, I attempted to make a cutting of a plant in our garden. I can't tell you what the plant's called. I know nothing about plants, as you're about to see. I followed Caroline Klein's sage advice. It was there somewhere. Where's this picture gone? There it is. There's Carol Klein. She said this would be easy. And so I cut the plant in the right position at the right time of day. Who knew that was a thing? I potted it, I watered it, I mildly forgot about it for 24 hours. And a few days later, this is what I came back to. A particularly dead-looking plant. Because apparently, if you cut it off from the light source, it doesn't survive. But also, you have to have the right compost, something with perlite in it. I never had a chance. This is easy, Carol said. Carol can go away. The disciples then, and we today, the church, if we want to bear fruit, we must stick closely to Jesus and his word. There is nothing of any eternal significance that is possible away from Jesus. Without faith in Jesus, the vine dresser will take the branch away. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. It is language that makes the cultural Christian uncomfortable. Nominal Christianity. There are some who look the part and they don't remain. It's a picture of Old Testament Israel who refused to trust the word of God. And so it was judged, it was removed. In Jesus' day, we've got Jerusalem and its leaders who should have known these truths, and yet what do? They reject King Jesus and his word. And we've seen Judas, one of the disciples, separating himself from Jesus. See, abiding in Jesus proves whether the attachment to him is artificial or fruitful. And so it is a great warning today, isn't it? You can be at church, you can know chunks of the Bible, you can serve in a ministry team, you can look the part. But if I'm not actually joined to Jesus by faith, then life will be fruitless and the fire awaits. And this may cause some of us to think, well, am I a true branch? I don't feel particularly fruitful. Well, we need to remember that Jesus is comforting and teaching his disciples. So remind yourselves a few months ago when we heard these words from Jesus. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. See, Jesus assures the believer, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. If you this evening are trusting in Jesus, if you're coming to his word, then through the Spirit you are intimately connected to the true vine. You are clean and you are eternally secure. Your loving Father is carefully pruning you to make you fruitful. And it's all for his glory. John 15 is wonderfully reassuring, a joyful message to hear for believers. And so how are disciples to abide in Jesus? Believers keep remaining in Jesus by feeding off the nutrient of his word and through the compost, if you like, of prayer. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The disciples were to remain in his words. Disciples today are to remain in his word, turning to his life-giving, sustaining word daily, as a church prioritizing it, as a parent reading it daily with my children. Abide in Jesus, remain by coming to his word and by praying. Jesus says disciples can ask for whatever they wish, but because we're in his word, what we wish is what he has told us. And I often tell the young people at church that I really am very happy to pray for their aunt's cat's cousin's music exam or whatever that's going on in their lives. But as we read God's word together, his word shapes our wishes and desires. And the disciples' prayer life is less shaped by my needs, my home and my work life, but getting a bigger vision of what God is doing in his world. As the life-giving vine of Jesus, as it grows across the world, and as branches are attached, and as branches abide and become fruitful. I'm praying that as a church, that we would be utterly dependent branches that remain close to Jesus, and that the Father would make us fruitful as he prunes us, as he makes us fruitful in Tunbridge Wells and further afield. As we remain in Jesus' love, it is for the glory of God, so that our joy might be full, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. See, it is a joyful thing to be a branch of Jesus, because he has done all the hard work. All a branch has to do is stay attached to the source. There is no one at Christmas who says, oh, darling, your Christmas branches look absolutely divine. Nobody says that, do they? They might say your Christmas tree looks nice. Our abiding, our fruit bearing is not about us. It's about the vine. It's about Jesus, and it's growing over the world. And that is what the disciples were being sent out into. Verse 12. Have a look, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Isaiah spoke of wild, sour grapes that were good for nothing and no one, but Jesus, the vine, brings about a fruit that is just lovely. Jesus shows us the love of God. As the Father lovingly gave his Son to the world, the Son lovingly obeyed his Father so that he may lay down his life at the cross to save people from their sins. And it's this love that wins the world and draws the nations to Jesus. So love one another is a command to the disciples. And we heard it first in John 13 when he washed their feet. It is with Christ's sacrificial love that the disciples were to put the eternal well-being of others first. And so in a world that tells you to love yourself and to treat yourself, love for others characterizes the believer. As the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves his own, and his own faithfully obey with his love. If you are someone here this evening trying to find out about what this loving God that Christians talk about looks like, or if you're a disciple who's feeling particularly useless, feeling fruitless, like a letdown, then listen again to what God has done for his disciples, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Do you see the intensity and the quality of Jesus' love for his own? How brilliant it is to be loved by God as he laid down his life. It is the cross of Jesus that turns the fisherman to friend, turns the troubled heart to joyful, from sinner to saved, and from servant to sent, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. The disciples were being sent with Christ-like, cross-shaped love to bear fruit so that the vine grows. And again, these words must have been really quite reassuring for the disciples, wouldn't they? I chose you. See, election by Jesus is one of the most comforting and secure things to hear. As they were being sent out to bear fruit that will last. And it took the telephone 75 years to reach 100 million users worldwide. It took the worldwide interweb 7 years. Facebook 4.5. Instagram 2.5. And ChatGPT just 2 months. And yet, if we step back this evening and look at the lasting fruit of Jesus' disciples, then isn't it a brilliant encouragement? From one man to a mighty nation. The vine is growing. It is filling the earth. 11 disciples sent out into the world, into a world that will hate them, as we see next week, as they spoke the words that Jesus had spoken to them. Through that, the vine grew, spreading to the ends of the earth. Jesus may not physically be here, and it can be difficult at times to see what Jesus is doing in our own lives and in our church and in the world. But look at what he's doing through his word, by his spirit, through his disciples. He is showing the world who he is as disciples speak of God's great love. So when we hear of people coming to faith in Christ, whether here in the UK, in Europe, and in the ends of the earth, it is because the word of the vine has been shared. So keep looking to see what Jesus is doing across the world as disciples abide in Jesus and as the Father prunes disciples to make them fruitful, a fruit that will last. And one day we will see the proof. And one day we will see what John saw at the end of his life, millions upon millions of branches, a number so large that no one can count. Disciples who stand before the throne of Jesus, full of joy, filling the world with the glory of God, who through Christ's loving death has made the way for us to have eternal life. Jesus is the life-giving vine. He is showing himself to the world. So abide in him as he abides in you. Let's pray together. Awesome Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful for your Son, the Lord Jesus, the life-giving vine. And we ask that the vine would be fruitful across the whole world. Through the witness of the disciples and through us, would your Spirit convict the world and bring faith to those who hear the loving news of Christ. Please would you help us to be branches who abide, who continue to believe in Jesus. who turn to his word, who delight in prayer. And please would you prune us so that we may bear fruit. Father, we pray this for our joy, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.